That's a glitch in the system. Everybody, avert your eyes and welcome to an episode of the
cool down. Man. Come on, that's you sleeping. You're sleeping
cool,
on the job.
Cool down.
Yeah, you know, the energy's got to come from one place. I was waiting for the energy there. Mossa, he's finally made an appearance after a weekend's result on the cool down. It's been a couple of weeks you've been missing due to bad
the
results.
Champ is now here. All of a sudden. The champ is here. It's fine, gentlemen. The champs are here.
The man's been MIA.
Wunderswood. Thank you.
Look, first person to comment, Pumlani, another Chelsea fan. I'm tired, guys. I'm leaving the show.
There's nothing wrong, guys. We actually win, guys. It's a winning thing. It's a winning mentality. We got there first to the ball, first to score, first to the trophy. It happens, man.
Too much banter. We enough, bruh. Hey, man, we heard enough of you guys chanting and being happy. You know, I didn't even watch the game, right? So I was at a party in Pretoria, and there was two TVs, right, with the game on, right. But it was a bit far from where I was, right. So I wasn't looking at the game. So I just checked the score on my phone. I see Chelsea's leading. Boom! That's the first time I checked the phone. Chelsea's leading. I'm like, hey, yeah, I know. I don't think Man City will score because I know when Tuchel scores a goal, he can defend a goal like at Chelsea's.
Yes, very well.
The first couple of games, remember, he would win 1-0, 2-0 type of thing, you know. So when that happened, I was like, hey, man, hey, I don't see a coming back. And then later on, I just saw people being happy, like, that means Chelsea won, man, because there's no Man City.
You know what's so nice for me, man? If we flip back maybe 2 weeks back, you know, with Man United just coming out of a really convincing Europa League semi-final, thinking that they have strong prospects for, you know, winning the Europa League, looking at Man City on the other side, win the league, the English Premier League, and looking at their prospects to face against a team like Chelsea in the Champions League final. A lot of people had written us off coming into this type of competition, even in this room here with all three of you. And it was nice. It was lovely to see us do it at the right time, get the result that is required at the right time. 2 weeks into this, we were struggling for form, for consistency, for good results. But the boys put it together at the right time, and I'm super glad that it happened a week a couple of days after Man United let it all go away with Ole's performance in the Europa League. So, no complaints from my side, man. The champs are here. The champs of Europe. The best team in Europe is here.
The best team in Europe. Listen to this guy.
I'm just happy that Musa doesn't have the login details because this thing would be blue. We designed this whole thing
would be blue.
And that banner would have been across. That banner would have been across all of us, and he would have been underneath it.
Everybody was right.
Yeah. That's why he has no admin rights on any of our platforms, because we just know the man loses his shit. Yeah? Shout out to M-Dog Guru for making another appearance here today. Pumlani, thanks for joining us yet again. And to anyone else who's on the line, yes, guys, in case you haven't told or haven't heard already, Chelsea are Champions League winners, and that is why there's so much noise coming from Musa in the bottom corner there. Dude,
the
too much. Right, but Musa, let's look deeper into the game. Let's give us, seeing as you're watching it, were you watching it from a fan's perspective, just getting lost in the moment, not actually seeing how the game was being played, or were you studying the game? I mean, can we say Pep Guardiola has been found wanting, overthinking it yet again in a Champions League game?
100,000%.
Yeah, going into the game, we're all expecting that double pivot approach that he's got, and he has worked for him all season. And this time around, he didn't have it going for him. I think who had started that centre mid position alone?
So this game, or the previous games?
No, in the Champions League final. In the final, he never had his.
He normally started Rodri.
If we look back the couple of games, right, against Tuchel, because obviously the first game was against Lampard, against Chelsea, right? Mm-hmm. He used one defensive mid, right, which was Rodri. Then he used both. He used both and then he used one, and then he used nothing. So I think the FA Cup final, he used both. And then the game at the Etihad, he used one. And then the final, he used zero, which I don't understand. Like, you cannot be a team that just has Gundogan as a box-to-box, basically, because he's the guy who's supposed to be the defensive-minded. You know, as a box-to-box, you can do both, right? Mm. But then everyone else is attackers. Sterling hasn't started for I don't know how long. Sterling is the... Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he's the worst player, but I'm saying Sterling, of the wingers, he's off form. Like, Bernardo, Mahrez, and Foden in those wide positions are ahead of him. And then now you decide to start Sterling in a... That to me shows that that guy just overthought everything. If he just started with a Rodri or a Fernandinho defensive mid instead of a Sterling playing, then I would say, okay, cool, this guy, he's playing his best team, the team that he's always been playing, but now he starts with Sterling. Sterling is off form, bruh.
But I guess that was the exciting thing about, or the good thing about Chelsea beating them so convincingly the two games prior to this. The fact that it made Pep have to think about how to approach that Chelsea squad differently. I don't think there was much to change from the Chelsea perspective, but a lot more to change from Man City. And I guess what he changed didn't help him, given I think he was trying to hold position all the time in our final third, but it didn't work out well when he saw the pace and the energy that we had with men like Kante and
but
our
Chelsea,
attacking
Chelsea. But Chelsea, also, I mean, Mosa, when you're looking from the Chelsea perspective and you're saying, you know, you think they were trying to have possession in the final third, I don't think they were trying. It's not that Man City tried to do that. It's not that they ever tried to do that. It's what they're always faced with. And, you know, when you're looking at what Chelsea did again, the formula, look, Tuchel since he's coming in Chelsea, the record against the big sides has been phenomenal. Like, if you're looking just purely on paper alone. But we know how he's sitting. He's sitting deeper and he's catching the players with longer direct balls and he's catching teams like a City with a high line. And he did it previously and he did it again. And in the Champions League final, we know finals tend to be won by a one goal difference. And on Saturday's performance, it was no different to that perspective. One side was pushing, the other side was waiting. And I know I'm saying this, even though despite the first 30 minutes, Chelsea were the better side in the first half. They were the ones creating chances. They were the ones asking the questions. And it made... It did. The doubt within that City side did start seeping in, and you could see it. And as soon as that big hit on Kevin De Bruyne happened in the second half, I think
that was a big hit.
There were a couple of things. I mean, that's a huge deflation from that side.
For me, the massive moment of the game was Rudiger's interception against Foden. Very early in the game, Foden was clear into the game, and it looked like it was probably going to go into the goals. And to see Rudiger come and intercept that one, sometimes you need those type of moments to galvanize a team and pick up everybody in the squad to then come up and realize that they are playing for a final. And that was lovely to see. For me, it was a massive opportunity in the game, which, turned the focus inwards for Chelsea and made us appreciate the fact that we're in the final on the day.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you got to pinpoint it as well, what they do, what... Tuchel's done is when he's playing a direct ball is hitting the flanks. When you're looking at a side like City or the bigger sides, we know how football has changed. Your fullbacks are attacking avenues so that you are more exposed. And when you haven't started that double pivot, I think that stat between Fernandinho and Rodri is when one of them have started out of 59 out of 60 games, when one of them has started, they've won 59 games. So, and in this game, he hasn't started any of them.
Can you please say that stat again?
There's something like 59 out of 60 games, possible games.
Well, the game that he lost was to Man United. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to squeeze that in there, Chip.
He has to find joy somewhere.
Guys, I've got very little joy. Very little joy. Again, the joy I had was being number one for 2 weeks. My biggest rivals... Liverpool capitulating, and then my City rivals not winning the Champions League. Oh, wait, sorry, not winning the quadruple, then not winning the treble, then not winning the Champions League.
Yes,
but now I'm left with the oil money winning the league, the Russian oil money. Yarr, man. You guys are
Champions League. Hey,
He's unbearable, man. I think
Champions League. It's not just the league. It's the best team in Europe.
I think with Liverpool, it was better when they won the Champions League. You know why it was better, right? Because Liverpool
just always historically, better. It's always better in red, Celo. It's always better in red.
Historically, when I've grown up, right, Liverpool haven't been winning much. They won with Benitez Champions League. That was about it, right? And then they win again now Champions League. Sharp, it's not bad. But Chelsea, they've just little bit. They've been creeping up on us. You know what I mean? Now they've won two Champions League.
You know what I mean? What just creeping up on you, champ?
You know what he's saying? He's saying like Chelsea are the case in point of a modern club. Getting success in the latter
they're like PSG. They're PSG.
5 years.
No, 20 years, not 5 years.
Okay. This is only your second ever European win. That's the historical point.
I'm trying to say is that when Mourinho won the Premier League, it was 50 years since you guys won a league. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, if you look at PSG have 10 League One titles, whatever. Ne? They've won nine of them in the last 15 years or whatever, whereas they won one previously. So it's like Chelsea is also that club where, if you look at historically, before 2000, how many trophies did they win before 2000, and how many have they won after 2000? Their success after 2000 has.
Why do you think Moss is a Chelsea fan? He's the case in point, the modern Chelsea fan that started. He saw, you know, the Drogba revolution. He saw Essien coming in there, the African players creeping into the modern Chelsea success coming.
So look, all I can say is you must be very, very afraid of ending up to be a historian like Wanga over there and his Arsenal stats chief.
No, Mosa, you can't even throw Wanga in there because, like Pumlani says, has Arsenal even won a Champions League? You know, you can't. Different history.
But Mosa, I'm way ahead of Wanga. At least my trophies there, the 13 Premier Leagues that Sir Alex gave us. Bro, I'm way ahead. I'll have to double my age for me to be. Yes, hey, bro. Back in the
but
day.
But that's a scary thing. You see, that's a scary thing. If you double your age and you look now, okay, next 10, 15 years, the current trajectory that Manchester is on, yes, you guys have improved in terms of, you know, coming steadily up the log since you lost to Alex Ferguson. But the style of football, the flair in terms of the play you have and the ability to win major tournaments and leagues and competitions has deteriorated quite considerably.
But your style of football is not flair or anything. Your style of football is to win. That's all. That's Chelsea's football style is to win. Chelsea's never played attractive football. Never, ever. When you look at Arsenal, but you guys win. You guys have a winning mentality. You guys are cutthroat. You win. You hire managers who win. You don't win. You're out.
But let's expand that. Right, to be fair, you can't. There isn't an affordance to play an attractive style of football because, like you said, Celo, they have to win. Managers aren't given time at Chelsea, so you do with what you have. So, and again, this is why Tuchel's been so successful, and this is why he actually deserves the credit that he deserves. He's taken authority and he's seen what he's had to use at his disposal, and he's maximized that. Kante's all of a sudden come back in there. He's been revolutionary for him. When you're seeing how they set up in particular. Yeah, but not even just like he's got that much confidence in the player. So we look at, and again, we highlight the fact that Pep Guardiola, you know, he questions himself, normally has double pivot. Now he's gone, I'm going to take him on because Kante is that much of a player. Chelsea can afford to have one player, you know, in that sort of that area where it allows the other four players to attack while the rest then defend. And if you're looking how they set up, you've got five. I mean, if you look in Saturday in particular, they had five guys at the back. They had Kante right in front of them. And then they had the three guys going forward. It was so to break down a Chelsea side that is well organized and following instruction with talented players, it does become a difficult task. Never mind if you're doing it against a West Ham, forgive West Ham, let's say a Burnley. If you're doing it against a Burnley, it becomes tricky.
West Ham, man. West Ham has done well, man.
If you consider some of the players that are behind him, you know, you've got a Rudiger and a Thiago Silva who. He himself was competing for the same competition in the final last season. That type of pedigree, the international kind of caps that Rudiger has. They players which are very coachable. It looks from my side, they're very coachable and they can stick to instruction very, very well, making very few mistakes. Yes, Man City did have a few chances of their own on the day. They did. They were always going to create some opportunities and chances for themselves.
They won right at the end.
Phew, that one at the end was so scary. That Mahrez strike. Okay. Yes, I almost felt like I was gonna cry, man.
Gundogan, boy.
Like you know, I always looked at. I was thinking before the Champions League final. You know, all these pages are saying, it's, you know, if Pep wins, is he the greatest manager ever? Guys, we are putting people on pedestals when they have not had longevity. How can you be put on a pedestal when you have a person like Pep who's literally walked into a team like a Bayern Munich? Listen, I'm not saying that Pep is
oh, I started with Barca.
It's not great, eh? But Barca is a different story because I respect what he did at Barca, because at Barca he did a bit of a renewal. He basically dismantled Frank Rijkaard's team, Deco out, Ronaldinho out, Eto out, and he brought and Messi. Okay, was a peripheral figure where he was up and coming, but he was becoming a more crucial. You're starting for Rijkaard and stuff like that. Eh? But then when Pep took over, he was the center of the team. But he took out Ronaldinho, Deco, and the likes, and Marquez, and all those guys. So he was a bit of a
Torres in them back in the day.
There was a bit of a rebuild that he did at Barca, and he won Champions League twice. So because he won it twice, I give him his props at Barca. There's nothing I can say about his reign at Barca. But then he goes to Bayern Munich, the team that is expected to win the Bundesliga. So you win Bundesliga. You're doing something that you already expected to do, Sharp. You know. Then you go to Champions League with Bayern. You lose three semifinals. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. You move to Man City. You don't even get past quarterfinals with Man City. Then you eventually get past quarterfinals, which is this season, and you get to the final. Last season with against Lyon in the quarters, he overthought things. This season, he does the same thing again. But they were talking about him as being the greatest manager ever, guys. Greatest manager ever. Carlo Ancelotti and Zinedine Zidane have more Champions Leagues than him. They're greater than him, for me. If you want to use Champions League as a measure, if you want to use Champions League as a measure of greatness, because it seems like that's what they wanted to do, because they gave him the title before he won the title and said he's going to win his third Champions League. Is he the greatest?
This is why I asked the question on Thursday. We know the success that he's had, and it's been, you know, you can't discount the success he's had. But when you look at the structure, when you look at the materials given to him, when you look at the setup he's been placed in, if you're not excelling in those sort of environments, then where do you excel? And this is one of the points that you make in terms of being the greatest ever. I do, going back to the actual game and seeing what M-Dog's saying here, they should have put Aguero on earlier, and then maybe they would have won something. You know, and those are the sort of things. Those are the things that...
Oh, yeah, they put on Jesus first.
Yeah, for what? You know, it's also, I just want to touch on this other part. Sergio Aguero finally going to Barcelona, and he says, Barca is the best in the world. It's a step forward. After being 10 years at Man City, this is what he says.
Yeah, but I think you should have rather said it's... Everyone dreams to play for Barca. Rather say that everyone dreams to play for Barca. That's better.
Because didn't he get that comment from Pep as well? Like, didn't Pep mention to him that he'll be going to the best club in the world?
But Pep can say that because he's a Barcelona boy. But
exactly.
But so then
I think another Barca boy now as well.
I think it's also nice for a grill, man. It's like the culture and the philosophy around Barcelona is actually brilliant, and it's a whole ecosystem which potentially is why you could rate it the best club in the world, because they have the whole ecosystem, the whole culture, which is focused squarely on the club, and maybe that's the reason why he thinks it's the best club in the world, because of how they could he's going to live in Spain.
I think
he's
going to live in Barcelona. His son's
godfather is there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the guru.
What's his kid's name?
Hold on.
Mateo,
go ahead.
Mateo. No, Aguero's son, man. The one with Maradona's
Messi's
daughter.
Son, also Mateo.
Maradona's daughter has a kid with Aguero. That's the one that Messi's a godson to.
Okay, but Messi's son's name is Mateo. Wonga, what did you want to say there?
No, I'm saying Aguero, I don't think there's like with when he said that, I don't think even the City fans would take that badly with what he said. I think they'd respect what he says and respect his feelings. And why I say that is because he's done so much for the club, you know. Even when he did that that Paneka and he flopped it and he missed. And people were like, ah, what the hell? I'm not a Man City fan, but when I was watching it, I was like, okay, yeah, the guy tried it, but how many other times has he put a ball in the back of the net where it really mattered to you guys? You know what I mean? They still picked up the league that time, and it really didn't matter. But even now, when he says that about Barca, he says what he said. He's done enough at the club. I think he's shown the club, he's given them everything that he could.
Sorry, Claudio. It's not Mateo. Sorry, it's Benjamin. Sorry. It's Benjamin.
That's two different names.
You are right. Mateo. Messi's son is Mateo.
The man who facts got it wrong today. That happens.
But I think it's a bit too much gins. Just
because Chelsea's won the Champions League, it's messing up on his facts, my man. The facts are just rolling around, chief.
I had to get a stiffer drink for today because I started a bit earlier. I started a bit like a bit earlier because of you. I had to prepare myself mentally, man. I don't want to be on tonight's show. I tried by all means to have plans for tonight, but those plans did not materialize.
Just in case you think he's taking the piss, he's not taking the piss. I will show you guys exactly, just proving what he said. He says, "Hello, guys. Morning. I'm not available tonight, unfortunately. Good luck listening to Mosa." As we continue, where is this? Like, wait, what is it? What's your next thing?
Oh wait.
It seems I'm actually available tonight. So his plans definitely fell through. So thank you for joining us, Silo. Guys, I just want to talk about.
I think it's the effect of being a loser, man. Like sometimes guys don't want to hang out with losers. They'd rather hang out with winners, man. That's the benefits of being a winner.
Hey,
so disrespectful,
even you hanging out with us now, because look, you're in the midst of winners, champ.
Who's a winner on this show except for you?
Here we go.
All right,
you
guys.
Need one winner.
Wait, Bossa. Just the whole. Let's dial back a little bit and let's put the focus on Aguero moving to Barcelona. I find this very interesting that the man is 32 years old and he's made this move to Barcelona. I know Barcelona currently don't have money. Hence, apparently, it's been said it came out today saying they still owe Liverpool 50 million. £50 million, so they want to give Coutinho back to us for free and see if we open to that. But now they're going to sign Gini Wijnaldum on a free. They've signed the Man City center half on a free, Garcia. They're going to sign another, obviously, Aguero Memphis. On a free.
Memphis.
But yeah, Memphis. But Aguero moving to Barcelona and them getting rid of Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez currently age 34. Aguero 32. Which one between the two of them is more injury prone? That's the first thing. Second thing, the one just wins the La Liga because he moves and they ousted him. And now they go fetch an Aguero. Is this really going to help a club like Barcelona?
I was talking about on Twitter earlier on today, right?
Yep.
When I look at Barcelona, the previous hierarchy of Barca was rubbish. That is why they're in this situation. From a standpoint of having a Coutinho, Griezmann, and Ousmane Dembele, that are £100 million that they paid in transfer fees. £300 million paid for these three guys. 100, 100, 100. You know, some of them is even 142 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And because of that position, right? So then you now have a player like Suarez. Laporte is not the guy who was in charge and who got rid of Suarez. Was it Bartomeu? Was the previous guy? And he was stupid enough to want to do a clear out of getting rid of a Suarez. Where Suarez, for instance, Suarez will give you consistently 15 goals to 20 goals a season. Easily. He's Messi's best friend first at the club previously before Aguero now comes. And they had a great rapport and they lived in like the same street apparently, I think, you know. And now you're going to get rid of Suarez, sell him to your biggest rivals because obviously he faked that Juventus test thing, that Italian test. He bought a test apparently and they will call him out because he's supposed to go to Juventus and they called him out with this Italian citizenship test that he faked or whatever, because you know in Italy you can only sign a certain amount of foreigners, whatever. But Uruguayans, their ancestry, the whatever. But it messed up. And you let him go for your biggest rivals. This guy, he was the what, top five goal scorers in La Liga after Messi and Benzema and what's the guy, Gerard Moreno, whatever. It's stupidity, but it's because of the previous hierarchy. Now Laporte is back. Laporte obviously is the guy who was in charge when Rijkaard and Lampard were Pep Guardiola were in charge. So he's back. He's trying to run things properly the way he used to run things back then when they had three Champions Leagues under him. They had three Champions Leagues under him. So, hey man, it's interesting times. As Pum's saying, Barca's literally doing the Italian model. The Italian model is get free transfers, pay the salary. And you know what happens with transfers? They amortize over time, whether you're buying or you're selling. So obviously you try, if you're not buying a person, then there's nothing to for financial fair play regulations and stuff. So yeah, so it's a bit tricky for Barca. And yeah, man, I think they're going to have to do these clever deals going forward. And they're trying to sell players as well. So any Barca player that you guys like, is for sale, except for Messi. Except literally every Barca player that you think that is good is up for sale, except for Messi,
the one that everyone wants.
Like the way I see it is like, you know, if you are to get any players in for free, getting players like Kun Aguero into your squad and into your setup where they've got good relationships with other players in the club, they know the league that they're going to be competing in very, very well. They've played in it before. And, you know, they of a certain pedigree will help. If Cavani moving to Man United is seen as a good deal because of the change room, the locker room experience he gives,
the Cavani thing was, there was a lot of skepticism prior to it. I know, like, on paper, it seemed like a good deal, but they've done things, Man United in particular, have done those sort of signings in the past that haven't come to fruition. In this case in point, yes, it's justified.
If you ask
by
me,
the
it's come to fruition, yeah. Yeah. If you ask me, it's really come to fruition, especially for the younger players around him, like a Rashford, like a Greenwood, who can get to see what it takes to be one of the best strikers in Europe. I think that's going to be the same effect that's going to happen with Aguero moving to Barcelona. He might not play every single game that Barcelona plays, but I do feel that you can be, if he does stay fit and strong for the next two seasons, he can give you a really good performance in terms
but
of
I love how you say if he does, and that's I think that's the point I'm making, is it's more than likely that he will not be fit throughout one hot full season. I predict within the first 3 months of the season starting, he'll probably pick something out and be out for like at least five games. Wonga, will Aguero be a success at Barcelona?
Look, I think if you look at a cloud, like Celo said, it's, I think what Barcelona are trying to do now, they're trying to fix the nonsense that the guys did before, you know. What is Aguero? Good player. And I think most importantly, ticks the box of he's free. He's not going to cost us anything. You know, it's just going to be wages. Yeah, he's free. That's the most important thing. This guy is free. He can score a lot of goals when he does come on. But I think they do realize the reality is this guy's probably going to get injured in the season. We'll see what they do to counter that. I think I just wanted to comment on the thing like Suarez as well. I thought it was also crazy because I think with Suarez, just it became it almost, I don't know why they even made that decision, because even Suarez took it more, you know, personally, you know.
He did.
And not that I know this. Yeah, I took it very, very personally, Suarez, what was happening at Barcelona. And you see, the thing is, he, if I'm not mistaken, he went out and Griezmann came in, right? Even if you look at the stats, yeah, Griezmann is younger. But Griezmann, I think, has only had like two or three seasons where he scored 20 goals in the league, you know? Suarez has been doing that left, right, and center. I mean, he's been doing it. Suarez has been doing it for 4 years. 4 years consistently. Only one season, he plays less games. Obviously, then you're going to score less goals. But he scored 16. Griezmann's average, he's looking at 15, 16 goals a season, you know.
Isn't Suarez like top? He's in the top five of Barca all-time scorers. Imagine, this guy has played at Barca probably like six seasons probably, or five or whatever.
Yes.
And he's already in the top five all-time scorers for Barca. There was a season, I remember, guys.
And
Suarez, Suarez outscored CR7 and Messi in one season. There was one season that he outscored CR7 and he won.
Even at Barca.
Even at Barca, he outscored
probably
Messi. Yeah.
He scored 40 goals in Europe.
But he also won the Golden Boot winners at Liverpool.
Yes,
so
exactly.
He's done it time and time again. But
Luis Suarez also, it's not even just at Liverpool. It's Luis Suarez even at Ajax. People are even asking, Ajax, like, does Liverpool. The guy, he scored 35 goals, I think, in the Dutch league. And people are asking, you know, does he contend for the Ballon d'Or, and obviously didn't even feature in it that year, because they're like, okay, yeah, he's not playing in the big competition, he's not doing it there. People had questions about him. He came to Liverpool, did it. Went to Barcelona, did it.
Yeah.
And he was still doing it, obviously showed the signs. And for me to release a guy, what Barcelona did is exactly what Arsenal did. They gave the league to Atletico Madrid, like Arsenal gave the league to Man United.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. This is the highest form of Peter Wonga. 100%. Yeah, but just to wrap off on that note, we've got Ajax, where he played, is 110 games played, 81 goals scored. At Liverpool, 110 games played, 69 goals scored. At Barcelona, 191 games played, 147 goals scored. And on his first season at Atletico Madrid, 32 games, 21 goals, and he is currently 34 years of age. And that's a player they let go. Yep. Also, this is a testament to modern football and conditioning that players are able to keep going at that age. But yeah, I want to ask next, Mosa, Tuchel, he now gets a contract extension because it triggers a clause of him winning the Champions League. What next for him in terms of your belief as to where you think he can take this team, and what potential signings should they be focusing on? What are his next moves at Chelsea?
I'm super glad that he's going to get that clause that's kicked in to actually keep him at the club, which is great. Let him stay for another season. With the 4 months or 5 months that he's had at Chelsea, he's done exceptionally well, better than anybody's expectations. I mean, this season has been such a roller coaster from my own personal perspective, where coming into the season, we knew we had a lot of good signings. We had spent a lot of money under Lampard, and there was a lot of youth coming into the structure. But then everything just kind of capitulated about 8 or 10 games into the season. And when Tuchel did come in, it didn't look like we were going to be able to compete for the English Premier League or even go the whole way for Champions League. And he's come into the squad or into the club with that mentality of being able to win things. And I think going forward, we have the opportunity to win everything. I think what this has shown us is that we have the capacity within the current squad and with management to win things. There are going to be a few recruitments which are needed. I've seen some discussion for potentially guys like Erling Haaland and Lukaku. Coming over. I'm not too sure. That's very possible. I don't know if I'm very excited about that. This past season we had a Giroud, we had a Abrahams. Lukaku's touch is like,
but you can't.
Oh yeah, Lukaku.
Lukaku scores goals wherever he plays. He's much better than Timo Werner.
I don't know. Like, yes, he is better than Timo Werner, but I don't know if it's going to be the addition that we're looking for, given the style that Tuchel plays. Like, I don't know if he's going to want a striker which holds it up there, is very physical all of the game. Right now, we're not using that. That's why I mentioned the Giroud's and the Abrahams. You know, that a Lukaku type of player would actually give us the same attributes that a Giroud and Abraham could give us.
Have you seen the goals Lukaku scoring in Italy? Have you seen the goals Lukaku scoring? Like running from halfway line, the things you expect from Werner, Lukaku's leveled up psychologically.
I'm not excited particularly about the Lukaku signing at Chelsea. I don't see him as one of the greatest scorers in Europe at this point in time. I would be more excited
20
about Erling
goals.
Haaland.
But
We need
24
more.
goals.
Mosa, 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 Mosa. Obviously,
no, whoa. Werner scored how many? How many has Werner scored? He copied Werner and he copied Lukaku.
Lukaku's getting him more goals. Lukaku just won player of the season in Italy. He won player of the season in Italy. He scored. Listen, Lukaku's numbers in the last 2 years, ne? Listen, actually,
72 games for
Lukaku's,
Inter, 47 goals.
Lukaku just keeps on. He broke. No, guys. I think we need to respect footballers, guys. Now, because we need to respect players that
you can sign Lukaku if you want him. Then.
No. But hang on. You're getting larger. Let's economically. Let's not even just economically. The gentlemen here are talking about capability. Okay, we all know tried and tested the man. The man's 28. He's been in the Premier League. He's gone to Italy and he's completely destroyed it. He's won the league for Italy. We're looking at Haaland. Haaland is a sensation. The noise that's being made by Raiola, the performances he's had, the records he's broken in the Champions League, yes. Yep. For future potential. Chelsea currently, the squad that Tuchel has inherited, big money signings on these young players. Do you think another young player in the shape and form of Haaland is the answer in comparison to a player who's tried and tested and maybe, if not, not maybe, surely will lead them from the front, lead them, be an absolute leader when he joins this team.
So if you're talking about a Harry Kane, I'd say yes, that's exactly what you're looking for. But a Lukaku is not really the type of mold of player that I want to see at a Chelsea this coming season. And that's why I'd rather go for a Haaland. Or a Kane. Or Haaland and Sancho would allow us to at least have the pace, have the energy.
But I don't think they can be in the same
Lukaku,
record.
But Haaland, Haaland,
touch.
No, listen, Lukaku has a bad first touch, man.
Guys, it's not bad. Lukaku's first touch is not bad, guys.
It's not. Moss is just seeing himself in the mirror there.
Thank you, seeing himself in the mirror.
No, man.
With that first touch. We must pull up the footage of your first touch there, Moss.
Mine was clean, man. Hey, Lukaku feels like he's hitting it off of a brick, dog. His foot is a brick at times. And yes, he scored a lot of goals. He's got good pedigree in Italy. But honestly, it does come back to that. The style and play of Italian football is super different to English football. And I'm not particularly excited about seeing a Lukaku there. I really am not. Like, given the energy and the consistency that we need from him, I can't say he's going to be the number nine of a Chelsea squad and he's going to come out with 20, 25 goals this next season for us.
But it's just not just like, I understand.
You can take him. You guys would only, I'd honestly say any of you guys could take him. We'll take Erling Haaland and let us go fight and see.
But the problem is, ne, you guys need to also remember the fact that the world that we're living in, Erling Haaland, ne,
financially,
he's
financially as well.
He's
Lukaku's going
Dort,
to be overpriced
Dort,
at this
no,
point.
Dortmund will ask for whatever they want right now because they know in a year's time it's 75 million euros.
But they can keep
clause.
Him.
So they're going to keep him. And also,
Inter or desperate.
He even said one thing, Erling Haaland. He said one thing. Getting into the Champions League was so important for us. I want to play in the best competitions. Already that just tells me the man wants to stay another season because he knows next season. The release clause comes into play.
Not even
to
that.
To give you context.
Like I've said, you guys have spent big money on these young players. I think
easily,
if you had to look at it, you could get Lukaku for half the price now. He could walk in and you guys could challenge for the league.
No,
next
but they want serious money for Lukaku, bro. They want serious money, hey? Yeah. I mean serious money, they want the money that they paid, obviously.
How much did they even pay for him?
I think they gave us
so 70 or something.
So we bought him from Everton for 79. We sold him for 71.
You see,
so they'll break even. They want their money back. That's all.
They want, yeah,
but nonetheless,
he's improved. They're gonna say he's improved at Inter.
But they're trying to sell the right back Hakimi to PSG for 80 million euros, which is let's say 68 million pounds, which is madness. He's a great. Hey, he's a great right back.
They're playing games there, boy.
Because they bought him.
They
for
need
40
money.
Million. They bought him for 200 euros. Now they want to double the money. How can you double in a year?
That Italian club, Inter Milan, are in, I think it's £250 million in debt currently.
That's what it is.
And that is the reason why Conte left. because he didn't want his star players to leave. And they said they're going to sell their star players. But guys, I'm also just touched on Kane. I just want to mention the Kane factor. We've got Man City and Man United actively pursuing him. The other two players in the fold are Declan Rice as well as, obviously, Sancho.
Sancho, yeah.
And these are two clubs that are looking after them or looking at them. One of the rumors I read with regards to Man City was Laporte, Sterling.
He wants to leave.
Yeah, but Laporte, Sterling, and Mendy. In exchange, for Kane, and to offload these players to try and get Kane and try and get Grealish. Those three players to raise the money to get those two players for Man City. And the same to be for, what am I saying, for Man United. Also actively pursuing Jack Grealish as well as Harry Kane.
No, but the Jack Grealish part, I think the club in itself won't pursue Jack Grealish, the club, but that's what Ole wanted. Ole wanted Jack Grealish last season, right? But obviously we didn't deliver. Man United never deliver the targets that the managers want. Do you know what I mean? I think because that's what always people always want to point at is that Man United spends a lot of money, whatever. Guys, Man United spends money, yes, but they don't spend the money on the targets that the coach wants. Coach says, yeah, hey, man, that's listen, the problem. I want X. Ish. Nah, let me get
you this, man.
You must take a budget.
But you guys don't think it might be different now, seeing as the guys left now, Woodward. Yeah.
No, I think you know the problem. What's likely to happen, right, is the Glazers needs to gain favor again with the Man United fans somehow. So how you gain favor is you bring certain players that we've always wanted. So
give them what they want.
The low hanging fruit is Jadon Sancho. That is the low hanging fruit is Jadon Sancho. But one player is not enough. You know what I mean? But also there is glamorous signings and less glamorous signings, right? So if you view like Harry Kane as a glamorous signing or a Cristiano Ronaldo, we don't necessarily want to sign these players, right? We want
to
have...
That's another one that's getting louder and louder. Ronaldo returning to Man United.
Exactly. But we want to, for instance, we want to solidify and build a team. We want to get a center back. We want to get a center defensive mid. But those things are not... They're not glitz and glam. Glitz and glam is your Ronaldos, your Jadon Sanchos, your Harry Kane. These are the players that sell T-shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we want to... Sancho... at least Sancho ticks two boxes. We need a right-sided attacker, and it ticks the selling T-shirt spot. But then now we need to reinforce defense and defensive mid before we think about attackers. But
well,
they're gonna go for
it. Question: Pums is thinking about attacking. There, he's asking you, what's happening to Diallo?
He's 18 years old, bro.
Yeah, he's asking what's happening there. How's the progress coming along? What do you foresee there?
Bro, listen, man. What as I can say is that is Man United have so because also if you look at how the English game is now changing, right, is because of the Brexit rules, right? Mm-hmm. You can only sign you can't sign players under the age of 18 anymore in the UK. The rules are that you can only sign players, you can only sign a certain amount of players between the ages of 18 and 21. Right, that's the new Brexit rules. Stupid as it may, so what you found is that Man United went on the spending spree. Right, Man United signed the captain of the French under 16 team, centre back, great centre back apparently. Signed him, signed other players as well from all over Europe. So we signed all these players between the ages of 16 and 18, and some of them obviously were primed to be involved in the first team, which is Diallo, for instance. But what I find is that a coach like Ole is not the right person to be utilizing certain players. Because what you find is that when a Diallo plays, came on as a substitute against AC Milan at home, scores a great goal, but then doesn't get used much further going forward. Then he plays good against Leicester. Doesn't get, you know what I mean? So Solskjaer is mismanaging him. That's what I'm saying. But also, okay. I think it's also a club strategy and not an Ole strategy. So you find then that you find yourself as a coach in a club strategy. The club strategy is let's buy. So Chelsea's been doing this for a long time. Buy young, not necessarily.
No, they haven't been doing it for a long time. They've been buying players. They've been buying players at the peak, and now they've changed it up because they've seen success elsewhere.
Exactly. So let's say 5 years. The last 5 years. The last.
Did you just say Liverpool?
Okay, whatever. I don't know.
They've literally taken our blueprint. All the players we were linked with, they went to go buy. I'm just putting that out there too.
But we all know, like for instance, like the last 5 years, Chelsea's been dominating that whole youth setup. They've been the best team in the youth setups. You know what I mean? You can see with the guys that are coming up now, your Mounts, your Abraham, your Kalamata, Richard James, you know what I mean? Your Bamfords, you know what I mean? You know, your Gilmores, you know, all these guys are from Chelsea, and they're obviously scattered all over now. You know what I mean? Even the Solanke. Solanke's a Chelsea boy. Solanke, when they won the Under-17 World Cup, he was a Chelsea boy. Tomori,
thanks for a bit of that. That was some good business on Liverpool's part. Thanks for that money. You gave us free cash there, Chelsea. Thanks.
Tomori is going to go to AC Milan for 28 million euros, which I feel is a mistake. I think Chelsea should have a buyback clause, at least.
Yeah. I see Pumlani mentions that we also need to get a world-class centre-back to replace Thiago. That is definitely something that we have to really think of for Tuchel because, Thiago has been brilliant for us this season. When he has been fit and ready, there have been a few blunders when he came back from injury, his first game in the Premier League. But, I think like a good centre-back would be very, very beneficial for the squad. In terms of the midfield, I wouldn't see too much to change, you know, unless we lose Kante from long term injury or lose Jorginho from long term injury. I don't see too much to change in that regard. What's up, Silla?
No, man. Sorry, guys. I was just looking at something that I probably missed earlier on in the day. Inter Milan are doing. I try to do studs of thing now of what you might call this club of Barcelona now, man. They owe Man United £45 million. So they either need to pay that full amount. So obviously it was a staggered payment.
You guys can take back Lukaku.
So let's say hypothetically, I don't know exactly what it says, but it's over a 5 year period maybe you're paying, and then now you owe 45, and now you're owing 45, and now because you haven't paid the next installment, you have to pay the full 45. At once, or give up a player of that valuation.
Yes, you can take Lukaku.
No, Lukaku's not 45. Lukaku's not 45. Lukaku's not 45. Lukaku's not 45.
No, then you guys will set. You'll settle. They'll pay you back afterwards.
There's other players.
Hey man, I would. You don't want Lukaku at your club.
No, I would. I would take Nico.
Yeah, you were selling Nico such Barella. A good story for him.
I would take Nico Barella. Nico Barella,
he's
the best. He was voted the best midfielder in Serie A. That's the guy I want. He's the heartbeat of the Italian midfield. Nico Barella is my. I like Nico Barella.
All right,
but
guys.
Let's say you get a Lukaku.
just to wrap up. I've got some terrible news.
Not exactly. You think
that's bad? I've got some terrible news for Wonga. Is that obviously we know that Roma have been actively pursuing Xhaka, Granit Xhaka, and the asking price was £15 million by Arsenal, and Xhaka's come out saying, "No thanks, he's comfortable where he is."
Yep. No, but I heard. Why am I reading different things? I heard Xhaka said he wants to leave.
No. I saw on Sky Sports.
I did not see on Sky Sports, so your sources.
Where did you read your scores? Where did you read your sources? That's a desperate Arsenal fan trying to push the narrative there.
Different things that said that Xhaka wasn't happy, and I was getting excited. It made me happy. but look, I mean, in terms of that, Claudio, I think Xhaka, I've heard crazy things. Arsenal fans, I don't know if they're in a delusion or what source, but anyways, I hear people saying that the guy put a stat up, we're going to crazy things, and he says because Xhaka has the most passes in the final third, he's probably one of the best midfielders in the league. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, the honest thing, the quickest question, you don't have to ever look at stats. If you go to stats, I decided to look at it, and where Xhaka leads is, let's say he touches on the ball. He has the most touches on the ball. He has the ball for the longest amount of time. That's all. But never mind that. If you look at Arsenal, and you say, okay, say Shaka's the best player in the league. Okay, so then which team above us, never mind below us, which team above us does he start? Does Shaka start? You know, that's the simplest question. That's the easiest question you try to ask. There's none. There's no team that he starts in. There's no way he doesn't take anyone's place.
No, but does he start? But he does start in a. Okay, no, it's the team. Okay, I was about to say West Ham, but right. West Ham had injuries. That's why I thought of it. But they don't. It doesn't even start in West Ham. But you know what the thing with Shaka is, man. At Arsenal, I feel it's right for him to start, and I only feel it's right for him to start, man, because of the options in midfield. So I feel Shaka and Partey starting together is okay, man. It's not that Shaka is the weakest link in your team, man. It's just that your team is the weakest link itself.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Selo, what I'm saying, you see, that's the thing, is that if that's the case, that's the thing for me. If Shaka gets to start and he has a right to start Arsenal team, for me that we need to ask ourselves then what are we trying to achieve? If we're trying to win the league, you're trying to make Europe. You're lying. There's no ways we can do that with sort of. I'm not saying it's the only problem. There's a lot of players we have to. I think offload and try getting hungry players in that team. I don't think necessarily young, but people that we have to get in people that are ambitious there. But like just one thing I want to finish off with. My dad was saying because he's also.
Are you ahead of us, Claudio?
he was saying that when he looks at Shaka, he says that maybe Arsenal is not the right team for him. Because if you look, many managers, if Arteta loves him for some reason, but other managers have said, you know, Shaka's a good player. And I still fail to see that. But he was thinking maybe if he goes to another team with different players around him, then he'll be able to shine. Because at times when he goes...
Let's monitor Shaka at the Euros. Let's do that.
I think that's a great idea.
What I was about to say...
I will also watch Switzerland's matches myself.
And what he's about to say is that like when he does... like remember that time when they had the international break and went to play for Switzerland? I think Switzerland played against Germany. And he bossed that midfield. And people were saying,
He does well for Switzerland. So, yeah.
But it is the captain of Switzerland. So
But
and
see,
he's
but
got
that's what
you... Cannon Cobb's in the team there. What's his name? Shaqiri's there too.
Shaqiri.
Yes, but you see, that's what you want.
Shaqiri.
Week in, week out. Maybe he needs the players to complement the way he does things, you know. So, but for me, I mean, if I look at currently what's happening in the past, to me, I look at it sort of like I think Chelsea also should be looking at this Tino Werner situation. Is the performances they're telling you a story here? You better look at it early. You better look at it early, or otherwise,
Bongi, you know what's gonna happen.
It's been a whole season of
that, but you know what's gonna happen.
Keep it there. It's gonna just. It's same thing with Fernando Torres. You know, there was a hope. Ah, he's gonna kick back. He's gonna kick back. He's gonna do it this season. This season.
And then what happened? Bongi, here's the difference. Timo Werner is gonna go to Germany. He's gonna go away for Germany, and he's gonna do the thing for Germany.
But that's what.
And he will. And he will do the thing for Germany. And then he's going to go back to Chelsea and he's going to feel better. And then his German coach is going to say, yeah, you know, I saw you playing there for Germany. It was good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and then things are going to kick off. It's going to kick off. That's what
I
think.
We have to hope
it
kicks off, yeah. To offload him now, I don't think it's realistic that Chelsea would probably sell him in this transfer window.
Yeah.
They'll probably give him another season. I mean, if they've had faith in him the whole season, almost every single game of the season, it'd be unlikely that Akil came with the fire.
But he doesn't. That's not the truth. He doesn't.
No, but
does
but
he say,
listen.
But
I,
maybe
I would,
Fred.
I think Fred, guys.
Yeah.
He's
Fred. Ahead of Fred.
Do you know why, Negas? Fred
he actually passes forward.
There's certain things that Fred does better than a lot of midfielders. Fred, he's got this tenacity and pressing, and his press is very good. His press and his tenacity is very good. But when you give him the ball, that is the problem. Shaka on the ball, Shaka, yes, he's got those lapses in concentration, but he can at least spread the passes. Spread. And when at least when he tries to shoot, he shoots, like you can see where the ball's going. Fred, when he shoots, I don't know if he thinks he can shoot properly, but you see, that's the thing, is that, you know, certain players, their strengths are visible, but then also their weaknesses are not great as a footballer. As a centre mid, you need to at least be able to retain the ball. Maybe not be able to pass the ball well, but retain the ball well. And Fred doesn't retain the ball well, whereas Xhaka retains the ball better than Fred. Like, but Fred is a better presser and better tenacity and better disturbing players.
But she, that's what Xhaka lacks.
Him
and Hendo.
Him and Hendo.
But looking at Xhaka, maybe in that sense.
I like you. I didn't like you.
But look, even Marcus is asking, what are Shaka's spread?
Hey, welcome, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus, welcome back, Marcus. Just check the stats there, Marcus. Xhaka, in terms of the passing stats, and I think, I don't know if they call, would you call it ball retention, but he has the most touches on the ball, most passes in the final third. Xhaka's leading the line on that. So something we can't deny. Maybe even if we don't see it, the stats are telling you. No.
Then what it could be is that he's passing sideways a lot of the time in the final third.
Oh, but he is.
No, but look, that's what I was saying. If you look at, that's why I said this doesn't really matter.
Obama Yang haven't had really great seasons.
Look at the way Arsenal play. Like, if I remember last week, I said, if you looked at Liverpool, you look at Liverpool, I'd even say Chelsea, I see a Man City. They're very direct. They get into the box and they do things. Arsenal will get into the final third. But then they go out the final third, then back in again. Then they go out and then back in again, then out and then back in again. Of course, he's going to have the most passes in the. Of course, he's going to have the most passes in a team. You know, anyone playing his
Man's
position.
Going sideways and backwards should, all the time.
Yeah, he should have it.
So sometimes what you find from the Arsenal perspective is that, let's say, maybe a Bellerin has the ball and then he passes it back to maybe, let's say, a Partey or a Ceballos, whoever's playing, and then he passes it back to a Xhaka, and then Xhaka passes it forward to a Tierney. That's final third. Then Tierney crosses the ball, or Tierney passes it back, and then Tierney passes, and then Xhaka plays a short
they play
pass
around the big box
to number 10, maybe Smith Rowe maybe passes it back
until they
to
flop it
Partey,
and then they hit the U-shape.
And you know what I mean? So I think that's what.
Actually, you know what? You guys are so disrespectful to Henderson. So disrespectful, Marcus.
Henderson, I agree with you, Marcus.
No, you guys are. No. You can see. Celo, what's. No. What's that saying you love telling me? Celo loves telling me, yo, but you don't watch my team, so you don't know. Marcus, I know you don't watch my team. Okay, so you don't know shit. But I just want to say, Pumalani makes a point. Like, if
what's up? What do you say?
I'm going back to Fred. Fred, you know, Fred has his limitations, but Klopp could maximize a player like that for the types of pressing. But
pressing,
he would, he would limit us. But that's where he would be.
Forward,
but that's as much as you could give.
Because that's the thing is that you need to have ball retention. Or you need to pass. So Kante, for instance, Kante is not a good passer of the ball, but he's a good ball retainer. So when he wins the ball, he releases it very quickly. Where's Fred, man? Fred sometimes thinks that he's amazing on the ball, man. So when he thinks
that's
he's amazing
the problem.
On the ball,
that's the problem.
So when he thinks he's amazing on the ball, man, is that then he loses the ball. So when you lose the ball, when you think you're amazing, you're going to take too many touches, or you're going to try and make things too complicated because you think you're amazing, but you're not amazing. You must just leave the ball and pass it to Fernandes or pass it to Pogba. People who can actually pass.
Do something.
He's got the pressing and the ability to squeeze games very well, but he knows his strength isn't in making a 40-yard cross the field pass.
But now he's got Bruno there, boy. He's got Bruno. He wants to impress Bruno. So, it's like, you speak Portuguese. I speak Portuguese. Now I must be doing what you do.
Let me spread this thing.
Fred is in the Brazilian squad. Yes, he's back in the Brazilian squad. And he's been in the Brazilian squad 2018 World Cup. He was there after his performance of Shakhtar Donetsk. It's not that he's a woeful player. It's just that he must just make sure that he plays to his strengths and he doesn't make things complicated for himself. But that's the problem with footballers, guys. We like to make things complicated for ourselves and we end up not looking as great as we are. There's so many players in the Premier League, guys, that could be so much better if they just kept things very simple.
That could be the dynamic of being coached by an Ole, you know, at Man United. Players like Fred aren't being coached in a very structured manner, where if I have the feeling like if a Pep was there, he'd know exactly what his job is to do. And he'd know exactly when to get rid of the
wasn't
ball.
Wasn't he linked with City?
He was linked with City when
and
we
for
signed
that pressing, for that energy,
For that pressing aspect, you know what I mean? You know, for he was going to be obviously that player who was going to either alternate with the Fernandinho, for instance. And that's the thing is that Pep usually makes players better. That's what I've seen with Pep. You know, Sterling has been much better as a player. You know, you see your Foden's. I'm not saying obviously Foden just comes from the development, but Foden has become such a great player. You know, for Man City and other players at Man City. You know, what I mean, you look at João Cancelo. João Cancelo at Juventus was okay. He was not amazing. He was just okay, but he's become a much better player at City. You know, and at John Stones as well. Even though he went a bit down and came back up. You know, these players look much better than what they were, you know?
Yep.
So I think the coaching
I can't believe this is what happens when we throw Shaka in any of our conversations. It's like a 20-minute sort of conversation that takes us. It's Shaka. We need to draw a little diagram. It's Shaka, Fred, and it goes in a circle, and then somehow Henderson's name gets thrown into the mix. I don't know how that happened.
Yes, okay. Because we took about players.
Because Henderson's also in the same WhatsApp group.
But the main thing of pass, though. You can ping a pass. Okay. Guys, now, for the real big result of the weekend, the big one. For Armand, one of our viewers, Armand, his team has made it to the Premier League. Brentford 2, Swansea nothing. And it was time and time again. You know, they've been pushing for the last couple of seasons. They've made it. They've come in.
Finally,
gents. Yeah, I don't know if anyone wants to comment on this as a part congrats.
I watched the highlights. Two first half goals from them, and obviously Ivan Toney, as Nick will always remind us, he was at Newcastle and Newcastle let go of him. He scored 31 goals, I think, in the Championship this season, or 33. So that's amazing, and you know what I love about the fact that they've made
it short of the crossbar. Sorry, Celo. Did you see that shot that hit the one that didn't go in?
Yeah, no, man.
The volley that
should have been amazing. That would have been amazing.
That would have been a quarter of a season as well. There, yo, but that was good. Yeah.
So if I think about, they've lost Ben Rama and Ollie Watkins, two players that have made a difference at Aston Villa and West Ham respectively. They're two best players last season. It's amazing to see that they've still managed to make it to the playoff final and actually make it to the Premier League. It shows that their team is a well-run club. They've just moved into a new stadium at the beginning of last season. So I'm really happy for them. I think it's great to see. I would have liked if Mokotjo didn't leave, you know, because obviously he left at the end of last season. It would have been great to see him in the Premier League. But yeah, happy for them. Unfortunate for Swansea. But yeah, Swansea's been in the Premier League more recently than what Brentford have been. Obviously, Brentford have never been in the Premier League, but they've been in the top flight of English football, but way back. I think it was the 70s or something, right? Or what is it? When was it? Claudio, do you know that?
Me, I don't know. Me, Wonga's meant to be Opta Wonga.
I just looked at the Brentford, just quick seller, it's actually 33 goals that he scored.
33 goals, imagine.
Yeah, and it looks like he's on the rise. It's been 16, 24... Well, 8, 16, 24, then 33. So it looks like a player that's working on his game, if I'm looking at
it. Yeah, no, but and how did Nick let him go without having a buyback option?
It's all Nick's fault. Nick should have had the cut there with Steve Bruce. Did you know Steve Bruce was intimidated, so he sidelined him? That's a hush-hush.
But he hardly played for Newcastle. They said under 21,
he was on loan, I think. That's why. He was on loan.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He was on loan from Newcastle to another club.
Talking about Newcastle, guys, I know we're going off the Brentford topic here, but two Chelsea players being linked with a Newcastle move, and that is Abraham and Gilmore, two players, loan moves, that being said. But anyway.
That'll be good, man. I think the problem at Chelsea is sometimes the changing room is too full, and it's got a lot of youngsters, and those youngsters, they need to get an opportunity, man, to play some competitive football. And if they can get a good chance at a Newcastle, where it's going to be difficult for long spells in the season, they're going to have to develop their character similar to Willock, you know. it's a very good and good environment for kids to get an opportunity to show what they're worth and test their mettle.
Right. Pumalani saying, do Brentford stay up? From my side, I can't comment at this moment in time. I need to go sit down. I need to go through the things. I need to see where everyone else is at before I can just say, do they stay up? But anyone else want to be brave enough to answer that question?
Sure, bro. That's a tough question, guys. You just saw what happened this season, guys. Two promoted sides went back down. Ooh. So obviously we're saying it's Norwich, Brentford, and what's this thing? Watford. Watford have money. That's one thing that Watford at least have in their favor. They've got money. Norwich kept the core, but they're one of their best players. Apparently, Arsenal want to sign him. Buendia. They want to sign him. So,
but Arsenal were linked with him the season before.
Yeah,
so it's clearly a player that they've been trying to pursue, and obviously one that they think they could get for good or decent.
Let me say this. Two teams that got promoted will go back down.
This guy's saying that got German.
Two out of three.
So they have to pick themselves. But I think Watford have at least the money from the Italian owner to at least stay up. But let's see what happens, man.
Let's just correct Marcus there, man. Which pop German is he talking about?
He's talking about...
There's only one now.
There's only one German that plays.
The other German's winning.
No, but that's what I mean about the style. That's why I'm not excited about having a Lukaku there. Because the style that Tuchel is going to use is that, you know, high energy, high intensity counter approach where... Man, I can't picture how Lukaku's going to...
He won't do that.
He won't be doing that, man. The dirty running the whole game. It's going to be tricky to see him.
He won't be chowing, he will stay there and wait.
He can do better than what Werner's doing. Let me tell you.
I've seen a couple of games where, you know, Lukaku is seen as a talisman for a lot of his teams when he gets there, because he's actually a big lad. He's actually like a really big dude. And Burnley.
Marcus has honestly come here just to talk nonsense, this guy. Listen to this.
I second what Pumalani says, guys. We need to get Burnley again, guys.
We're going to start an anti-Burnley campaign and go on.
I'm going to say something very out of the ordinary and a very maybe it could be seen as being controversial elsewhere. But
that's not the shocking thing for Seller to do because
Goal Lines TV is uncut for the fans, guys. Burnley needs to get relegated because they're not a transformed team.
Yo. Out. And you know who started that? You know who started that agenda?
Who?
It was your friend Sky when he came on here. He started the agenda and we've kept the ball rolling. Let's get Burnley out of the league. Guys, Burnley
don't sign people from outside of the UK, the United Kingdom, and Ireland. They signed. They probably have like two players, and then
they stick to those sort of players? It's because their dietitian makes them only eat pies, so they can't get guys foreigners. They got to stick to the guys that are used to the area eating pies and running. You know, that's the thing. Anyway,
giant Cornish pastry.
Has anyone been following the UEFA European Under 21 Championship? Anyone been watching that?
I didn't watch. I just checked the scores yesterday. There was a crazy game between Portugal and Italy, 5-3, and then Netherlands beat France, and France obviously are top heavy with players that have not made it for the senior team. But I haven't watched it. I think what Germany also won their game. Spain won their game. So Spain, Germany, Netherlands, and Portugal are in the semifinals. But I didn't watch the games. Shit. I know what's happening.
Germany, Netherlands, and Portugal.
Yes, yeah, Spain, Netherlands, yeah. And obviously, I think Claudio's bringing it up because his player is playing in it. So that's why. No, Konate is playing but they lost.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed with the Portuguese youth. That's the one thing I'm being impressed by, really. So I was curious to see what everyone's thoughts were. But guys, the big news, obviously, for tonight Gareth Southgate naming his 11.
But four right backs.
And this is the 11 for the three lines going to the Euros in goals.
That looks a lot more than 11, Klotz.
Well, you know what I mean. He's closer to his...
Please tell him he doesn't know his numbers.
He must count, bitch. Because
if you want to attend an algebra class or have some math classes, go somewhere else. Don't come here for me to be the host, okay? I'm not going to give you good math solutions there unless I'm reading stats off the most reliable sources of Wikipedia. I'm just kidding. Okay, right. We've got goalkeepers in here. We've got Dean Henderson. All right. He makes the shot. Selo, thoughts about that? Is this well-deserved?
Oh no, obviously, man. I think Dean Henderson definitely should be number one for England without Pope being available. Because I think Pope should have been number one, but obviously he's injured. Pickford, the only thing that Pickford does well that the others don't do is his distribution is the best out of all of them in terms of like his passing is good. Like Edison levels. But he can pass a ball better than all the other English keepers. So I think that's what Southgate likes him for. But keeping ability, I think that Dean Henderson is ahead of him. But I think Pickford will start because obviously he's more experienced playing the World Cup and so on. That's not a controversial three. I think the controversy comes picking four right backs. How do you pick four right backs? What are you going to do with four right backs in your team? I think what he's going to do, right, he's going to play a black back three.
You're jumping the gun.
I think he's that was just for the training, the 33 man squad where he had four right backs. Now it's
he's announced
the squad.
Alexander ruled himself out.
Greenwood is the only person who's ruled himself out. He's picked Trent, James, Walker.
We've got Trent Alexander's in there, Ben Chilwell, Connor Cody, Reece James, Harry Maguire, aka Slaphead. We've got Tyron Mings, Luke Shaw, John Stones, Kieran Trippier, and Walker.
So imagine that's four right backs. So what I think he's going to do is going to play a back three of
Kyle Walker will play.
Yep. Walker, Stones, and Maguire as a back three. Right wing back will be either Reece James or Trippier starting. And then left wing back will be either Chilwell or Shaw starting. And then he'll play Declan Rice in the midfield with I don't know how fit Jordan Henderson is, but probably Jordan Henderson. And then he'll have a front three of
Maguire's
good to go.
I'm not sure about.
I was not too sure. Just put him there. I think he's coming from an injury.
Maguire's the most important centre-back, guys. That's the thing. Yeah. So you have to pick the most important centre-back.
Imagine Connor Cody going to United, guys. Cody going to United. That's a Liverpool Academy product going to United. No, imagine that. Marcus, this man, he's saying all the things tonight. I don't know what's wrong with him.
He's adding the spice tonight.
So Pumlani says that Walker's going to play three at the back. I agree with him. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
All
right, but let's go through the midfield. So this for me was an awesome sort of call up here. Jude Bellingham. Good to see the youngster get a call up and be a part of the plans, regardless of whether or not he gets the shot. Obviously, Hendo hasn't played in a couple of months, so interesting to see him being included in the fold. Obviously, needed from the energy and the experience. Mason Mount, we know what we think about him. Lampard's chosen ones doing the business. Calvin Phillips is an interesting call here from Leeds United.
It's actually not an interesting call.
No, I'm saying it's obviously warranted. But at the same time, it's interesting that he's gone with that because if they don't get the results, they'll be pointing at players like this in the selection.
He played the most minutes, apparently, in the qualifiers.
Okay.
He's a solid.
That's because they were giving him a run. They wanted to see whether or not he was capable, I'm sure. And he's obviously come through the test. And then, obviously, Declan Rice is in there.
I think he'll start ahead of Rice.
Calvin Phillips.
Rice starts ahead.
I don't know, man. Especially if you've got like five defenders behind him. This is starting to look like a Southgate blunder already. Not saying that I don't know.
It is a blunder for picking four right backs.
Sure.
Look at these boys. This is where it gets exciting for England, I suppose. You've got Calvert-Lewin. You've got Phil Foden. You've got Jack Grealish. Harry Kane. Marcus Rashford. Saka makes it there for you, Wonga Denga. You've got Jadon Sancho. And you've got Sterling.
Saka wouldn't have made it if Greenwood didn't rule himself out.
Shall we say?
So if he plays with that back three with the full right and left full or wing backs, how's it going to work with all these other strikers that he's got in the squad?
Nah, it won't work. It's too much. He's got too many options up front. I personally would rather play a 4-2-3-1 formation, and that 4-2-3-1 formation would rather be a Declan Rice and a Jordan Henderson sitting, and a Mason Mount as a number 10, and then a Foden on the right hand side.
Mount's ahead of Jack Grealish as the number 10. Would you not want to free that guy? Would you bring him off the bench in case things aren't going your way?
I think Grealish has just come back from injury. I think Mount needs to start the first game. Mount is on form. He's the player. And yeah. I think Foden also starts because he's been on form. And then on the left-hand side, listen, it's a tricky one because Rashford's been carrying injuries. Sterling has been off form. Sancho is on form, but hasn't been hasn't been starting for England.
I would gamble on Saka, to be honest. I would gamble on the guy.
Nah, he won't start.
You'll get a lot of pressure from the English if he starts a Saka over Rashford.
There's no wrong answers, eh? There's no wrong answers. I think the starting lineup is no wrong answers. If you tell me that
this boy's on bench for 100%,
okay, yes,
obviously
Calvert-Lewin, but if for instance you say to me that Reece James should start, I'm not going to say no. If you tell me that Trippier must start, I'm not going to say no. So there's you know I'm not going to say no because they both are great players or whatever, you know, and up front as well, Sterling, your Sanchos, your Rashfords as well. It's a tricky situation. You got Grealish, Foden, and that's why Lingard didn't make the squad. You've got Grealish, Foden, and Mount, who play in similar positions, so he didn't have space in the squad.
This Pumlan is saying Saka's versatility is crucial. Tell them, Pumlan. Tell them, please.
That's why he's a squad player.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's his versatility that kills him as well, because I feel like, you know, a player like that, if you had to put him in one position for the season, for example, at Arsenal season, if they had kept him in the final third doing that week in, week out, you would see a player who, I mean, he's a player who's got a lot of conviction, don't get me wrong, but you'd see a player further on in his development process. Right now, he's fulfilling a lot of roles, and yeah, he's capable of doing it, but he's not becoming a specialist at any one of those. And if you want to be one of the best, you need to know what you're really great at. And I feel like that's the thing that they're killing.
I don't think
little.
That's even down to him. I think that's, again, it's down to the manager. You know, he's not, I don't think he's sure of what his best team is. And I think he's trying to please players instead of, trying to win us games. And I'm referring to Arteta when I say this. I think it's just a result of that. But definitely we know his best position is up front.
Yeah, I mean, there Marcus is saying, what is he saying? He's saying Saka doesn't play and Foden doesn't play and Sancho doesn't play. Foden not playing. I think Foden gets a shot, bro. I don't know. Who starts ahead of Foden? Sterling.
The thing is, it's so tricky the way it's all going to work out, because where's Foden going to play if he's playing with those wingbacks? Is he going to be out wide as well coming in, or is he going to be behind the strikers?
3-4-3. They can play 3-4-3. They can play Foden in there.
Yeah,
I think it can work. If you got your wing backs, then definitely a Foden could work. When they're defending, pulling, coming more into the middle, instead of running down the wings, a lot of energy going forward. I can see it. I can see it happening.
If he wants to be more adventurous, he puts Mount and Declan Rice as the pivot and plays Grealish number 10. That's when you want to be more ambitious. That because Mount sometimes has played as an 8 for Chelsea, and you know with Declan Rice's solidity in the midfield and what he can do as a defensive mid, you can take that risk and play Grealish as a 10 and Mount as the 8. You can, because it's possible. But Southgate is not an ambitious manager. He will never do that. He's not an imposing manager. You know, your Peps impose themselves on the game. Southgate is not an imposing manager. Actually, England have never had imposing managers. England always
That's
had
the
managers.
Problem.
Yeah. So you rather impose yourself and put Mount as the 8 because Henderson is not 100% and play Grealish 10.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys. Just to answer Pumlani's question, who's in the group with England? It's Croatia, Czech Republic, and Scotland. So on paper, at least with the squad that they have, they should be getting out of the group. Right. And that pretty much covers that part of the show. Before we go, we're going to go to the saucy section. And that is, which thing do you think we're going to start off with the saucy section, guys? Which headline?
What's the saucy? Also, what's saucy section now?
No, you guys don't know. You don't know the sauciness.
Tell us about the sauce.
No, I remember that last time we were saying, hey, what's the sauce? What's the sauce? Is it the sauce or the sauce?
Oh, the sauce, yeah.
That's all really I remember from the last show.
Well, anyway, we're just going to talk about Ancelotti going back to Real Madrid, guys. Everton had their fun with the top quality manager. Now back to reality. Goodbye. Thanks for coming. Welcome back to the Bernabeu. Gentlemen, what do we think about this move?
I think it will
look
be...
at this. Pooms knew. Pooms knew what the source was. Look at that. Before I even put that thing up there.
I think, Ancelotti, I think he's... yes, if I look at it, man, I mean, I read also that Zidane wasn't... the reason he left was that he didn't feel that the club backed him. Of course, it's going to happen, Marcus.
Then, hopes up,
please. I don't want that kind of team. I think he said the club didn't back to me. You remember those times with Zidane when he got the team, they were doing bad. And then there was a rumor that went out that he was going to get fired. And apparently that was leaked out by just credible sources that was leaked from. So he felt like the club didn't trust him. You know, he was doing badly. And then after a while, just after a few bad games, now they're thinking of firing him, you know, not even having that chat with him beforehand or anything. That's just what he's hearing from the media side. So he felt like he didn't have that relationship that he thought he had with them, and that's why he left. But if I look at Ancelotti coming in there, I think he would definitely need more players if he's going to come there and do what Madrid are expecting of him to do there. Especially if I hear they're letting go of Hazard, if they're trying to let go of Hazard, they would definitely need to be bringing more. Because I think what Zidane did there with what he had, I think that was exceptional, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That was exceptional. But now with the team that Madrid have now, I can't see another coach doing better than what Zidane did.
I think you got it. That's a valid point. Pumalani is also just asking the question with regards to Ramos and his Real Madrid situation. Where to next for him? I was reading in the papers today that Man City is a likely destination with Guardiola trying to convince him to come over. I don't know if that's a very good move for Man City. Man.
That's not a... Listen, guys. Sergio Ramos is a... You know where I see Sergio Ramos going? PSG, for instance, right? I think it fits well into his, not into his mold, but more into PSG's mold, right? I don't see Pep signing a Sergio Ramos, right? Yes, maybe Laporte wants to leave, right? Cool. But then you still have Diaz Ake and Stones, right? Mm-hmm. Then they can sign another center back, maybe, you know, as that fourth option. Knowing that Ake is can play left back and centre back, right? So then they can at least, you know, somehow figure things out. But also Real Madrid, it'll be tough for them to let go of Varane and Ramos in the same transfer window.
Yep,
because that is a complete rebuild, which isn't ideal for them. But they left in a very weird situation where Ramos is about to leave for free, and then Varane's contract only has 1 year left. So they're in a dilemma. The rumors are Chelsea want Varane, but Real Madrid won 70 million euros. You know, for a person who's got 1 more year on his contract, doesn't make sense, really. Maybe a 50 million euros, but 70 million euros in this current market doesn't make sense. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the transfer window. I was chatting to some. I don't know how I ended up in this group, but I'm in a group with three Real Madrid fans. I'm the only non-Real Madrid fan in the group, and they were all sharing their views about Ancelotti coming in. The one guy, he's very cautious and not sure about it. The other two guys are optimistic about it because of the success he had previously and the fact that he basically mentored Zidane. So they're very optimistic in that, and they feel that he can get the best out of a Hazard. I think that is one player that splits opinion at Real Madrid, man. Some Real Madrid guys really don't want him anymore, and some want him. I don't know. It'll be interesting, man. I think where's Conte gonna go? Where's Zidane gonna go? Is Poch gonna stay at PSG? You know what I mean? It's
Conte, interesting.
Yeah, it's another one. Man United fans are saying, guys, there's managers, good managers available.
Take one of them, guys.
Take one of them.
Man
United is not a football club. Man United is a business.
It's different. It's just different.
Are those your final thoughts, Cyril? Because I was about to say, before we wrap up, give your final thoughts.
That could be my final thoughts. Man United is a business and not a football club. A football club is hungry to win titles and trophies and compete.
No matter
the business, a business is chasing to be in the place where they make money. So be in the top four. You're in Champions League. You know what I mean? They talk about, apparently there's a thing where at Man United they say that, have you seen how much social media engagement we get off transfers being announced? Did you understand what I'm saying? So already you can see that these guys, for instance, will not sign at certain points in the season. You'll see. There will be no signing. Man United won't sign a player before the Euros. The signing that they'll make will be after the Euros. Where there's timing, you can transfer and what, you know, you could, you know, that's what I said.
The business, the place is run like a business, boy.
That's what I was saying.
I think Pumalani's got the best final thoughts. Yeah, congratulations to our very own King of the North there, Coach Nick, for winning his respective league there with the University of Pretoria. Congrats, Nick.
Congrats, Nick. Winners in the building. I'd just like to say congratulations to Chelsea and everything that has unfolded this season. It's been such a roller coaster and it's ended up like with the cherry on top. So, yeah, congrats to Chelsea for taking the Champions League from my side.
Yeah, no, I'd like, for me, final thoughts, I'm just curious, like you said, Claudio, where do we see Conte and the likes of Zidane? Next, where they go to next. I'm hoping that we see them. Okay, we saw Conte in the Premier League. I'm hoping to see Zidane in the Premier League. I don't think it'll happen, but I really hope to see him. And it's only solely because I also read that he said that he believes he brings out the best in people, not just the players, but he said also the staff and the people surrounding the players. That's where his strength lies. So at Madrid, I can't deny that's happened. It's something's definitely happened if he's winning with a team like that and winning three Champions Leagues in a row, something you've never seen. So I'd really like to see him in the Premier League, just for interest sake.
Awesome. I like that. That's a nice footnote there to end off on. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. Everyone who was on the line, the usual suspects in the shape and form of course, Pumalani. Your caps are ramping up there. We're going to have to get you a special something. Marcus, for popping in yet again. who are the other dogs? M Dog, Akil, for being here, and everyone else that was took part. I don't know the guys that were shy, didn't comment. Thank you very much. And remember,
you must comment,
otherwise you get nothing. Oh, remember, gentlemen, we do have a Discord channel, and if you're not part of that Discord channel, please feel free to jump in on the link and take part of the conversations. We have just general banter and, you know, news and things like that. Wonga is actually getting quite vocal. He's leveled up. Morse has still got to kind of get there, and we know Selo with regards to his Optus stats. He's quite there. But anyway, gentlemen, if you don't know what to be...
Be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool.